Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, March 18th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts, which there isn't a ton out there. You know, as you guys know, the coronavirus pandemic is pretty much ravaged the sporting world, so there's not a ton going on. I will talk about a little bit about news today. There's a little bit to talk about, but first things first, I do got to mention this. Kind of a housekeeping note here, and it's disappointing. I'm disappointed. You guys are hopefully going to be disappointed too. I told you guys yesterday the podcast would continue during this break, I guess you want to call it. That's still the plan. The podcast will continue. However, I mean, I've been doing 6 podcasts a week for pretty much the last year. That's going to be cut down significantly. It was not my decision. It's out of my hands, but it's going to be 2 podcasts a week until this whole thing clears up. So the rest of this week's normal, so I'll be doing today, tomorrow, and Friday. So 3 more podcasts this week, but next week it's gonna be 2 podcasts. I'm thinking Monday and Friday would be a good time. Monday, I think, for sure, because something could happen in the weekend, and then Friday to kind of recap what happened during the week. You know, again, it's out of my hands. You know, Nick didn't want to do this either, but obviously times are tough right now, and I'm not surprised, to be honest, guys. I'm just lucky that I still have my job, because I know a lot of people are, you know, sadly being let go from their jobs because this whole thing. And there's just not a lot of work out there right now. So, you know, thankfully, it's still going to be 2 days a week, better than 0 days. So Monday and Friday, I'm thinking that. And maybe that changes, you know, as we go on. But we'll play it by ear. But, yeah, still going to be doing the podcast just only 2 times a week and not 6, which sucks. But it makes sense because, honestly, there's not a ton to talk about. And hearing what fighters have to say about the coronavirus is going to get boring after a while. So it sucks. But starting next week, just 2 podcasts a week. So I had to mention that. All right, let's get into today's news. I'm going to start with Conor McGregor here. His coach, Owen Rowdy, the striking coach at SPG, he was talking to Ariel yesterday, and he said that Conor expects to fight July 11th in Las Vegas. That's the plan. And they were talking about Justin Gaethje as the opponent, and they believe that's an exciting fight for the fans. And of course it is. I mean, this is a fight that I've wanted to see for a long time. I think you guys will want to see this fight. It's a dangerous fight for Conor. You know, if he takes this, like, kudos to him, because it's a far more dangerous fight than Donald Cerrone was. But it'd be a great fight. I mean, Justin and Conor are both mostly stand-up fighters. The fight would probably take place staying on the feet for the most part. And both guys are pretty durable for the most part as well. Like, both guys have solid chins. This would just be a slugfest, I think. It'd be a great fight. You know, grappling-wise, Gaethje probably does have a little bit of an edge, but he doesn't use his grappling. He's like Yoel Romero, never uses his wrestling. Has a great, you know, wrestling base, but doesn't use it. So if this fight happens, it'd be a great fight. We got Turn It Up MMA in the chat here saying he wouldn't count on it. And you know what? I wouldn't either, because a lot of these times these guys are just blowing smoke and they're trying to get the fans to hear what they say. You know, but it does make sense, because here's the thing, man. With Habib and Tony being up in the air at this point, you know, if Conor really wants to wait for the winner fight, he might have to wait till the end of the year, like November, December at this point. Like, he may have to wait 9, 10, 11 months. So it might not be worth it to him. Whereas Justin, if everything goes well, July makes a lot of sense. Here's the other thing. You know, right now we're thinking that the July card is going to be Usman and Masvidal and possibly Jones and Blachowicz. Well, maybe they're going to do a triple threat, like 3 big fights. It's possible, right? Because there's going to be so many big fights out there now that need cards to be on. And you might see the UFC putting like 2 or 3 title fights on a lot of these cards. So that's kind of what I'm thinking here. You know, the funny thing is, if Jones and Conor were both in the same card, who would be the headliner? That's the funny thing, right? I'm assuming Conor, because he makes more money. But Jones is big too. So it'd be interesting if that happened. I'd like to see this fight though, guys. I've been calling for this fight for a long time. You know, 2 guys that are just really fun to watch. And I think the trash-talking heading into the fight would be a lot of fun to listen to as well. But I just think stylistically, this is the best fight you can make. But again, you know, this is a risky fight for Conor. And if he just wants to kind of wait for Habib or Tony, the winner of that fight, then I can understand that too. I just think he's going to have to wait a long time, because quite frankly, I'm not convinced that that fight's going to happen April 18th, as much as Habib, Tony, and Ali Abdelaziz and Dana White say that it's going to happen April 18th. In a location TBD, and there was talk yesterday about Dubai, so that's a possibility, but I don't know. I mean, I'm really not sure. I mean, how are they even going to get there? How's Justin Gaethje going to get to Dubai? Like, there's no guarantee that he'll even be able to fly out of the U.S., you know? So we really have no idea, but yeah, hopefully things get figured out soon, guys. You know, this is a tough time. I mean, it's brutal, you know, and I was really hoping this wasn't going to affect me, but I wasn't surprised when I heard a lot changed in 24 hours. I'll say that, you know, I was talking to Nick on Monday afternoon, and he said, you know, things are going to be as normal, like obviously cut down the written content because there's not much to write about, but, you know, podcast the same. And then 24 hours later, you know, he just basically said that he had to make some tough cuts and he didn't want to do it, but, you know, had to cut me down. So this is going to affect a lot of people. It affected me, affected the podcast, but hopefully temporary, guys, you know, hopefully very temporary, hopefully only a few weeks. That's the best case scenario. But yeah, it's not, dude. I went to the mall yesterday. It's a ghost town. I mean, I felt dumb being there. Like, no one else was there. You know, went to the record store. You know, it was cool because I basically was in the store by myself, but it was kind of weird too. And a lot of stores are closed down now. So, you know, stay safe out there, guys. Anyways, getting through the show here. Next thing on the docket, Colby Covington, he apologized to Dustin Poirier. Actually released like an Instagram post, basically said that he said something about Poirier negative in an interview the other day, and he apologized because he had a deal with Dan Lambert, the boss man there at American Top Team, that he would not do that. So, I mean, it's commendable. At least, you know, he made a public apology. They are teammates, but obviously they talked a lot of trash to each other, but especially Colby talking trash to Dustin and other guys at ATT. I mean, Dustin wasn't too happy with that. You know, obviously, Joanna was another fighter who's kind of on the brunt of Colby's trash talk. And of course, Jorge Masvidal. So, you know, Colby, I mean, that's his shtick, right? Everyone knows that's who he is at this point. He's a guy who doesn't really care what people think about him and what he says. But in this particular case, you know, Dan Lambert does a lot for Colby Covington. And I think he recognizes that. So I'm pretty sure Dan was pissed off at Colby. And that's why he issued this apology. So, you know, good for him. You can say what you want about the guy, but takes a man to step up and apologize when he was in the wrong, and that's exactly what he did. Michael Chandler, like, this is interesting. I saw this on ESPN yesterday. Michael Chandler is going to test free agency after his next fight. So he has one more fight on his Bellator deal. He'll be fighting Benson Henderson in a rematch, and after that, he will be a free agent. And, man, I'm pretty excited about him testing free agency because, you know, I don't think he's, like, an elite guy like he used to be at one point. Like, you know, he was at one point an elite guy, like, you know, 7-8 years ago, I guess. He's still a solid fighter. I mean, he's won a lot, 4 of his last 5 fights. He's coming off a great win over Sidney Outlaw, who's a pretty decent prospect. Knocked him out in the first round, looked great. Other than losing to Patricio Pitbull by knockout last year, which was obviously a huge win for Pitbull, and the Brent Primus fight where he got injured, he's looked great. So he's won, what, 8 of his last 10 fights, and that's pretty solid. The guy is definitely a good fighter. I would not say an elite guy, like I said, anymore. But, you know, you look at his resume, he's fought some pretty good fighters over his career. And, of course, known for his war with Eddie Alvarez back in 2011. So, definitely a solid fighter. But I will say, you know, he said he's interested in UFC and won. I don't know what the interest level from them would be. I would like to see him fight in the UFC. I think there's some good fights. You know, he was actually asked who he'd like to fight, and he mentioned a bunch of guys. He said, first off, for one championship, that was the first thing he mentioned. He said he'd like to fight Eddie Alvarez again. That'd be a trilogy fight. That'd be interesting. I mean, they had 2 great fights. First fight, Chandler won by submission. Second fight, Alvarez won by split decision. A trilogy fight 7 years later would be interesting. I would like to see that fight. And the UFC, he mentioned specifically Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, and Khabib Nurmagomedov. He thinks that he could be the guy who beats Khabib. Don't know about that, but I think that Poirier and Gaethje would be good fights too. So, you know, he needs to beat Benson, not only just like a decision, because I don't know if that's going to be enough. They have fought before, by the way, like 2016, they had a really good fight for the lightweight championship in Bellator, and Chandler won a split decision there. I think he needs more than just a split decision this time. I think he needs like a finish for the UFC or even one to be like, okay, we're going to throw a ton of money at you. You know, the guy is getting a little bit up there in age. He's 33 now. He'll be 34 in April. So he'll probably be 34 by the time he hits free agency. And at that point, you know, he'll be on the downside of his career, but still, again, a pretty decent fighter and a 3-time Bellator lightweight champion. I mean, that does say a lot about the guy. He's won the title 3 times, but that also means that he's lost it a few times too. So, you know, I still feel like Bellator probably has the inside edge to keep him around because he is a homegrown talent. He's been there so long. Bellator does treat him pretty good. But selfishly, I'd like to see him in the UFC because I've always wanted to see Michael Chandler in the UFC. I just think it's probably at the wrong point of his career where he wouldn't have had as much success as he would have had like 5 or 6 years ago, where I think he could have been a really dangerous guy. And I got a comment here from Kitsuru Rodoju. Benson needs to cut his haircut to be top level lead fighter again. Yeah, Benson Henderson, you know, he's definitely not the guy he once was. He's actually won four straight fights in Bellator. Looking at his resume right now, 5-3 overall. And his losses are to, like, really good fighters, Korishkov, Chandler, and Pitbull. But the wins aren't really that impressive. He had the win over Pitbull, but it was obviously a leg injury. And then his other wins are Miles Jury, who's just not that great anymore. Piccolotti, who's okay. Awad, who's, like, you know, okay. And Huerta, who's not that good anymore either. So his wins aren't that good. But, I mean, overall in his career, Benson has some great wins. Jorge Masvidal, Josh Thompson, Gilbert Melendez, Nate Diaz, Frankie Edgar, Jim Miller. I mean, Don Cerrone twice. So he's got a lot of really good wins, but definitely on the downside of his career. He made the decision to leave the UFC 5 years ago. It's been 5 years since Benson left. It's crazy, right? But yeah, he's definitely not the same guy. And quite frankly, I probably do fade Chandler in that rematch whenever it happens. I think it's supposed to happen in May or June. But again, that could be pushed back due to obviously what's going on right now. Okay, so coronavirus talk. I found this fascinating because so most of the fighters that you saw on Twitter were like, I want to fight. You know, you saw guys volunteering to fight at that card this weekend that were supposed to happen this weekend on that Indian reservation. You had guys like Brian Kelleher, you know, volunteering their services. And you had a lot of fighters like Colby Covington saying, it's just the flu, you know, don't be scared, I want to fight. A lot of you guys saying that we're professional fighters, we want to fight. That's fair, okay? So that's what they want to say, and that's how they feel. But it was fascinating for me to see that there was one fighter who said that he was scared to fight UFC one. This guy, Geraldo De Freitas, and he's not a household name by any means. He's a bantamweight. He was supposed to fight Jack Shore at UFC London this weekend, which obviously was canceled. But it was fascinating hearing him talk because basically he said that he was scared to fight. He was afraid of getting infected, and he was afraid about maybe even being able to get home after the fight. And he was very afraid. So he's the one guy who said he was scared. And it's funny because I wrote the article over at BJ Penn. I was looking at the comments and the way the fans talk about these guys that are, you know, even show any inkling of, I wouldn't even say being afraid, but just caution. They're like, man, this guy's a wimp and this guy sucks. I mean, that's the guy's life. Like, if he got sick, then what, right? So, you know, this is a guy that doesn't make a lot of money too. And basically he said that he was scared, but he would have fought because he needs the money. And this is a guy making probably 10 and 10 on the prelims, right? So that's who this whole thing hurts the most. Guys like John Jones and Connor, they're fine. They're loaded. They'll be good. But the majority of fighters in the UFC roster don't make a lot of money. And guys that are making 10 and 10 on the prelims, they're particularly screwed, you know? So this whole thing is just a mess right now. And I'm not surprised the UFC hasn't come out and said, we're going to pay our fighters that had canceled fights. But come on, such a rich organization. Seriously, guys, like, come on. You know, this is the right time to say, we're going to go pay these guys, like, for anyone's fight was canceled in the next three cards, we're paying them their, at least their show money. Because these guys have to pay for the training camps. It's not their fault that this happened, you know? So to me, it's actually disgusting that the UFC hasn't stepped up a little bit more. They are such a rich organization, and they really don't treat their athletes as good as they should, you know, be treated, because these guys put their lives on the line for the promotion, and it's just sad that they can't even pay them their show money. It's not even that much money. It really isn't even that much money. It's sad. You know, that's one place where Bellator actually has to step up on them. And I actually saw some comments by John McDessie, and he was talking about the Bellator paying them, and basically was saying that, you know, he wants the UFC to just do one flat rate and not do win and show, just do a flat rate, which a lot of fighters actually want to see as well. Just one other thing on the coronavirus pandemic here, USADA will continue to test the fighters randomly even during this, which is kind of nuts, but, you know, at the same time, I mean, you kind of got to keep testing them, obviously. So because we don't know how long this is going to last for, right? If they go and say, like, okay, we're not going to test these guys, they could definitely use some stuff and get away with it. So as much as it sounds crazy, it probably is the right call by USADA to continue doing the random testing. A couple of comments here. Steve Smith, MA Oddsbreaker, thanks for the content. No problem, man. Justin Gaethje will finish Connor in the first round. Yeah, that's an interesting fight, right? Like, Justin's been knocked out twice. Alvarez and Poirier both knocked him out, but they were crazy, crazy wars. Like, he's a guy with a pretty durable chin. He did get finished in those fights, but it was late. Like, the Eddie Alvarez fight was, like, a super close fight where he got finished with a knee in the third round. And before that, it was, like, one apiece. It was just a crazy fight. And then the Poirier fight, I think he was winning the fight as well, and then obviously he got a little tired in that fight in the fourth round, got finished against the fence. Connor, I can't remember if he's been knocked a couple times in his career, and then he lost the decision to Nate. Tapped out by Habib, Nate, and – or sorry, he beat Nate in that decision, excuse me. But he got tapped out by Nate, Habib, Joseph Duffy, of course, and that's that guy, Artemij Sikhnikov, which I've seen that fight before, the knee bar. But – and then, okay, Floyd Mayweather finished him, but that was in boxing, and it was like a TKO in the 10th round. So as far as MMA goes, he's never been stopped by strikes. Nate did hurt him a little bit in that fight, in the first fight, but wasn't able to stop him. And obviously Habib is able to knock him down with a punch too. So, you know, it's possible. It's definitely possible Justin could get him out there quickly, but, you know, it'd be an interesting fight. I'd really like to see this fight. I think it's a pretty even matchup. You know, Justin's got a lot more momentum right now, but you know, Connor's Connor, man, and you can't count on him to fight him. The guy is, you know, for better or worse, like, he is one of the hardest punchers pound for pound ever in MMA, and he always has a chance to knock his opponent out or kick him in the head and knock him out. Kansira Rare Doji, UFC should pay everyone $20,000 per canceled day. It only cost them $500,000 each event, a drop in the bucket. Yeah, I mean, it's just disgusting. Like, and really, like, they're, again, $4 billion organization. They sold for, like, $4.2 billion a few years ago. Probably worth even more money now, right? So, to me, it's pretty despicable that they haven't stepped up and helped the fighters. I'm not surprised. You know, they try not to pay the fighters anytime they can't, but it's like, you know, Leon Edwards was on Ariel's show yesterday, and or his condensed show or whatever, and he was asked, were you paid by the UFC? He said, no. He's like, you know, I had spent a lot of money on my training camp and my coaches, but I never got any money. We're trying to hopefully get something from the UFC, but I don't know. I mean, it's... Again, not surprising. I guess it's capitalism, and, you know, the UFC is trying to save money, and they're trying to, you know, make as much profit as they can. And if they don't have to pay the fighters contractually, they won't do it. But in this particular case, I mean, this is like a world event. Like, it's a little different than, you know, sometimes these cards have been canceled in the past, and guys were moved to other cards, and they got fights. In this particular case, there's no card to move them to. So if you're fighting at the London card, the Columbus card, the Portland card, you've been training for the last 2 or 3 months, you're screwed. And you lost a lot of money in training camp. You lost the money paying your coaches. Your nutrition, everything, and they got nothing, right? So it's terrible. Kansira Rare Doji is not happy with this. Most of the prelim fighters in the prelims work a full-time job and train. They needed $10,000. UFC's paying them for the fight 100%. That Gerald De Freitas guy, I think he was saying that, you know, he can't train or coach, you know, people at the gym. I think he does, like, some training on the side. And that goes for a lot of fighters. A lot of them do coaching and seminars and stuff. They cannot do that. They cannot make any money. And, you know, fighters are one thing, but this goes for a lot of people in the business, and even the writers, quite frankly. Like I said, like, right now, my pay is not what it was like a week ago. I mean, it's gone down drastically because I am a freelancer. So I'm paid, you know, for the most part, for as much work as I'm able to do. And right now, there's not a ton of work out there. So it sucks, right? But this is the business we're in. And, you know, fighters recognize that hopefully when they signed up for it, because that's just how the business is. And it's not the right way to conduct a business, but it is what it is. But yeah, it's crazy, right? Like, you see these guys fighting for $10,000 and then, in the NFL, they just opened their free agency, and you got guys signing for $30 million guaranteed a year. It's crazy. I mean, and I understand the NFL is a much bigger entity, and, you know, the athletes there, they train hard, and they take a beating in their sport too. But it's just nuts how you have a guy like Gerald De Freitas, you know, basically begging for $10,000 for show money so he can at least pay his coaches, and then you got guys signing for $30 million in another sport. It's nuts on the same day, right? So it's sad. Just gonna see if there's anything else I want to talk about. If anyone has any questions, throw them in there. Actually, I did get a question from Kevin last night. Kevin Scott sent me a question in an email. Let me get this here. Where is it? Kevin Scott. Oh, actually, I think he had some ideas for the show. He said, let's see here. He wanted me to do like a deep dive into the divisions, which obviously I'm not going to be able to do because I can only do it the podcast twice a week now. So I won't be able to do it on here, but maybe I'll be able to do like a written article for that, Kevin. I'll see what I can do maybe for BJ Penn. But again, not too sure because there's just a lot of cuts being made everywhere and kind of you know, people tightening up their wallets and companies just kind of tightening up their purses right now. And it makes sense. I get it. But yeah, it's not ideal. So Kevin, I appreciate the email, man. I want to mention that Cage Warriors, I did a preview at MMAoddsRecord.com, the opening odds preview. We actually have a card. Yay. There's a card this weekend. And actually, I see there's another card here called GFC 25. Don't even know what that is. I'm assuming it's like some Russian promotion. Looking at the guys, I don't know any of the fighters in the card, but there's more odds for that. So if you guys are degenerate gamblers, I mean, there's odds out there for you to bet on right now, which is nuts. So we do have Cage Warriors from Manchester. And two UFC fights are on that card, Todorovic Phillips and Fabinski Stewart. So that's kind of cool. And again, I hope the UFC is paying them for those fights. They're making their UFC wages. And then again, this GFC 25 card, which again, I don't know a lot about, but William Hill opened the odds for that, which is kind of cool. And again, checking to see if there's anything else I want to talk about, but as we know, guys, there's not a ton out there right now. Yeah. Oh, I saw that John Tuck, former UFC lightweight, was arrested for sexual assault in Guam. So that's terrible news. There wasn't a lot in the news article. I think it was like third or fourth degree sexual assault. It didn't really give me any details, but, you know, that's awful. And John Tuck's not really like a household name, but he did fight in the UFC like five or six times. So he also said, what did he say here? No one can know due to my work. What did he say here? Let's see what he said. Okay, there's a little bit more details that opened up from what I'm seeing now, which is interesting. But yeah, you guys can check that out. It's just type in John Tuck and read about that. Not good stuff. All right, that's going to be it for today's show, guys. I'll be back tomorrow and then Friday and the next week. It's just 2 weeks. So yeah, it sucks, but it is what it is. All right, so you guys can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and I'm available at MAOddsBreaker.com, BJPan.com, MARings.net. I'm going to try my best, guys, to do as much as I can during this little break here. But at the same time, I mean, we're all in the same boat. We're all kind of you know, on hiatus right now. It sucks, and it's a terrible situation for the world, but it is what it is. Guys, once again, I appreciate you tuning in. Thanks for the questions, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning. Bye.